But yeah, we come from all over the place. We're pretty diverse people, if you can't tell from looking at us. We got some liberal hippies. We got some gun carrying conservatives.
Yeah, you know? We're a medley.
Hey, can I guess who's who?
No,
I'm gonna guess the conservative is the one in the Cabela's hoodie.
You are very observant. What about me? What vibe are you getting from me, man?
You did a lot of mushrooms and you watched Fantasia a lot in high school. Oh,
we got you.
You were pretty close, man. You were pretty close, fuck.
I'm curious about me. How about me? See.
You had dreams of being a professional wrestler at one point, but it didn't work out.
This guy.
I like donuts too much.
And you.
Here we go.
You really like Coheed and Cambria.
Actually, not too bad. Is it because of the hair?
And Chris, you're a great guy. Hey, Lex.
Hi.
Welcome to the Toon Junkies podcast. My name is Nick.
And I'm Lex.
Chris is like our little guy in the computer room right now. Like our.
I'm Jamie today.
He's the hacker guy. He's the one who goes, I'm in. Today we're here with the guys from Man vs. Food. How's it going?
Good. We are great.
We are great. How are you doing today, man?
Not too bad. Actually, what I meant is Man vs. Would you guys like to go around, introduce yourselves, tell us what you play?
Yep. I'm David. I play the drums.
Cole, I'm a producer, but I play bass guitar in our band.
And I'm Caleb. I play the guitar.
I'm Tyler. I am the guy in charge of all the writing and the terrible average clean singing. And yeah,
I thought he was going to just leave the terrible average cleaning. He's the cleaning guy in the band.
When everybody's done, I pick up the vacuum and I just, you know. Yeah.
All the wood chips in.
So I guess you guys are considered a metalcore / hip hop band out of Fort Wayne. You want to go into a little bit more depth about that?
I think we're really trying to find our own thing to where we're all over the place in our music. For me personally, all the time in my head. Mm-hmm. And I think we're trying to find like what it is we are, but we haven't found any direct labels that hit it on the head. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're just kind of searching for that right now. I'm really trying to find ourselves as a band.
Yeah, it comes from our background. Like we love hip hop music, rap. I mean, R&B, all of it. That's what the culture I was raised in, what I grew up in, the music I, you know, was brought up around. And then, you know, I'm sure we all hit our teenage years when we start to get a little angry and maybe pissed off about how life has unfolded so far. So that's where metal came on in. So, I mean, we all have a deep-rooted love in multiple genres, and we're just, you know, coming together and playing, you know, what we want to play.
Hey, that's cool as hell, though. You know, most of the metal musicians that I do know love hip-hop. They love rap.
Mm-hmm. It's about that heavy bass.
Yeah, it's it's not often that I see someone whose band combines the two. It's usually two separate things for different projects.
We clearly haven't, you know, really made up our minds on what it is we want to be. We're just kind of naturally searching for that. Maybe that's not the best method to go about it. And
it is the best method.
Yeah.
You should get your fingers in all different genres. You're figuring out what sound works best for you, what you can play the best on your instruments, what you can sing the best.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So
that makes a lot of sense.
For sure. So the first question we'd like to ask our guest is, Batman gets his name from a fear of bats. Using that logic, what would your superhero name be?
That's a good one.
Running Man, because I just run away from everything.
I'm afraid of running.
I was trying to say it too. I really fucking hate running.
What about you guys?
Sure, that's a big one.
I'd be Captain Mayonnaise.
Captain Mayonnaise?
Or B-Man.
You're afraid of mayonnaise?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate, my man.
Yeah,
I'm afraid of you now too. I'm the coal man.
Coal man.
I don't know. I guess about the superhero thing. Probably, I don't know. The name I'd have to go with is the Stompster, because I'm always loud and I hit the drums like extremely hard.
So
like,
that's what you're what afraid of.
What are you afraid of?
It's the Batman name, not superhero name.
He's afraid of being light-footed.
There we go. Yeah, sure.
So Captain Twinkle Toes.
Being Godzilla when he walks down the hallway.
Captain Twinkle Toes. There we go.
I don't know. It might be odd being in a band, but I don't really want to be in the limelight, man.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, he.
I mean, on stage, that's a
under the radar, man.
That's a different thing. Yeah. You know, you can act crazy on stage, and who cares? But I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. I couldn't do your front man thing
because he does a lot of the production and stuff for our band, and he just does so much. And like, he's like the glue keeping this shit together. And he was talking to me. He's like, man, this is like, you're the front man. This is your thing now. Like, you know. And it was like kind of him passing the torch to me, and it's like. Okay, and I also get scared of the limelight and shit, so it's hard. When you go up on stage and you're trying to pour your heart out and you just fucking bomb, that's rough. And you gotta fucking deal with it and trying to get better and move on.
All about getting better.
It's a great way to say shit. All right, that's actually not the first question we'd like to ask.
Oh, just fucking skip me. Next show now. Chris and Lex are in here. Fuck us.
I'm sorry, Lex. What are you afraid of, Lex? You weren't even ready.
No, I was thinking, and I was like, wait a minute, I don't want to make this too deep. I think my name would be Major Throttle, because I... just let me explain.
Please do.
Because I keep, like, for the past week, I keep having nightmares of being choked to death, and I really hate that. Like, even, like, if Jazone with my partner, we're getting, you know... down and stuff. Like, don't touch. Don't touch my fucking neck. Not a thing. Don't like being choked. That's it. Yeah, I don't like being choked.
So where's Throttle come from, though?
Throttle? Like, we throttle somebody?
Well, I thought about, like, throttle.
That's,
like,
yeah,
driving.
Yeah, that wasn't where I went with that, too.
She's like, afraid of cars? You just drove here a lot. Yeah.
That's actually not the first question we asked, though. The first question I'd like to ask is, what was your first experience with live music?
I guess. I probably have the most experience, so I'll take the floor with this. My first experience with live music was probably in elementary school. I mean, we had music classes. I went to Fort Wayne Community School, you know, choir productions in front of faculty and parents and stuff. So, I mean, regardless of whether you're singing Hot Cross Buns or playing, you know, some metal riffs, I mean, you're still performing in front of people, so... that nervousness and anxiousness of performing hit me at a pretty young age.
What was the first like band / artist that you saw live?
Good question.
Mine was Toby Keith.
Hey, nice.
Toby Keith. I would not have guessed that.
Hit the Toby Keith button.
Oh, jeez.
For me, honestly, I would say Skillet. Yeah, they came to win a jam and I was a big fan of Skillet for the longest time, and then they finally came by, and I was like, phenomenal show. Very phenomenal show. Like, they had, when they played the song Monster, they had a big pillar monster come out, and John Cooper was standing on it and riding on it. And honestly, that was the last time I ever saw it, because it was a Christian concert, and I think they're like, that's too much. So in the year after that, they didn't have it anymore, and I was very upset. But yeah, phenomenal show. Great performers.
I don't know why I cannot think of my first concert. It must not have been a crazy one, I do remember in my younger high school, late middle school days, Warped Tour. I mean, I'm sure we're all about the age to be there. So, I mean, that was right in the beginning of my love for heavy music, too. So. Warped Tour.
I have to say, my first band live was probably Pillar. Seen them in Cedar Point. That was probably the first rock band I ever seen, and so I
saw a band at Cedar Point too. I can't remember what it was.
Wait, they had shows in Cedar Point?
Yeah, they have a little stage and a restaurant thing too. They have a big stage.
I remember that. Yeah,
most like Saturday nights.
Yep.
Like it's dark. It was pretty neat.
The only time I ever been to Cedar Point was just through work. It was like a little trip that they always did every year. I never went voluntarily.
Oh, did they send you there because you used to work at Kings Island, right?
No.
No, they didn't do that. Okay, so that Kings Island was a different thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not fun when they play along.
He's like, you're giving me nothing, man. Come on.
It went over my head. I'm sorry. What do you want from me right yeah. now?
So when you worked at Steak and Shake, right, you were just going to say, yeah?
Yeah. 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 A little test, see if he's just going to bullshit or not, you know.
I'm too truthful. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, actually, you're a liar because you said, yeah.
Funny how that
Let's
works.
Let's take it back to the beginning. When did Man Versus start?
Man Versus started it pretty much me, Cole, and one of our old buddies, David, knew that we wanted to get back into live music. I had previous experience playing with Cole in bands, and we had that fire in our belly again to where, like, we got to get out and play some shows and, like, you know, just get back into the music game.
I feel like we should almost back it up a little bit here.
Okay. You back because, it up. Back it up.
I mean, we were...
A bit in reverse.
Yeah. Yeah, like Tyler said, we did play in bands together in the past, and we have had momentum and, you know, local level success and played some pretty big gigs for what we thought were, you know, the area. But, I mean, you know... tops a couple hundred people, you know, I mean, that for yeah, that's a pretty decent crowd. So we got away from doing that, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't because we didn't love music anymore. Life kind of grew us apart. Drugs kind of grew us apart. You know, it was at that point in time where it was our lives were either falling apart and we needed to do something to get it back together.
Love will tear us apart.
This was pretty much, you know, a few years later, we're all kind of, you know, at least on somewhat level ground, and we're like, all right, you know, this needs to happen. I mean, I need this back in my life. Tyler needs this back in our life, and, you know, we just made it happen.
Yeah.
Then, yeah,
sorry, it started out with me, Cole, and David, and, yeah, we started to commit to writing again and just trying to be creative, and then our buddy David was going through some stuff at the time. And it got to the point to where he wasn't on the same level and going to do what we were trying to do. So we had to cut ties. And that's unfortunate because he's one of our best friends.
Yeah, it was definitely not an easy moment.
Yeah.
And sometimes it really just sucked. Aren't and ready for it.
We ended up meeting Caleb online and stuff. And we were like, hey, man, this is what we're trying to do. Are you down? And we just started to play together with him. And we realized that he's the same like us, you know, he needs this shit back in his life too. And we try to just do that for him. And then through Cole runs sound at a church, and David attends that church. And we ended up meeting David, and he was down with the two.
Had to scoop up the talent. In the
place. Yeah, because he's such a great drummer.
That's where you go talent scouting, local church.
Hey, in you know, conservative Angola, Indiana, where, I mean, there's not a lot of places that do play music around there. So, I mean, if you want to be in the life, I mean, you got to go where the music is.
Did you have an issue, especially being in conservative Indiana, playing metal at all?
Heck yeah. I mean, we don't play shows in our hometown. No, I mean.
A lot of it's down in Fort Wayne, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But, I've had problems growing up in this area my whole life. And. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know, people don't think the same way. Our main motto of our band, I guess, is positivity, inclusiveness. I mean, we don't want anybody to feel left out we try not to, you know, say anything negative about anybody. I mean, we're all in this together. This is life. I am not better than any of you. You know, we're all the same people. You know, let's treat each other like it. So that, from where we come from, that is definitely not how people treat each other.
Very secluded kind of area.
Oh, yeah.
So the secret meaning of Man Versus is Man Versus negativity. You're just
it
not
can
sad.
Be Man Versus a lot of things.
However you
a
want.
Lot of Man Versus a lot of things. That's, man versus. That's a lot more right.
Yeah, you were cracking me up when you said Man Versus food. I was like, oh.
I almost didn't do it.
No, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did.
Perfect opportunity.
Right.
So I get... A bunch of you mentioned that you were in previous bands beforehand. Do you want to just shortly talk about those bands?
Yeah, yeah. Condensed version of this is the first time I really started to play live music myself was with Cole in a band called A City Ablaze. And we toured
420,
around.
420, man.
A little bit, yeah. And we tried to do some just local shows and stuff and get going, and that's what really birthed that.
Well, for me, honestly, like, first time I ever played on stage was probably when I was 13. Mm-hmm. It was like doing a talent thing. I started playing guitar ever since I was like 10. Sorry. I was about 10 years old and got my acoustic, got an electric guitar at Christmas, and my parents enrolled me in rock camp at Sweetwater. Nice. And that got me like really in the water with like live music and stuff.
Nervous. Sweetwater got you in the water.
Thank you. You're like, I see Lex, the opportunity for the
podcast. This is the stuff I'm talking about, Lex. I was like, you have some zingers. And you're like, they're not consistent. No, they're consistent. You just don't give yourself enough credit.
Yeah, exactly. Don't say them out loud, generally.
She's getting comfortable. That's what she's doing.
Mm. Like, oh, yeah. I can say something stupid now. I'm not used to saying stupid shit. Now I have to accept it.
Stupid shit happened. Lex, I once told a story in here about how I pooped myself. You're good.
Oh, man. Let's hear about it.
Nah.
Not again.
There's an episode. It's called Zaff.
Oh, all right.
So, Sweetwater.
We'll listen to it on the way home. Sweetwater. It was very sweet.
Water.
So I got my foot in the water, and then I went back the next year, and like I just loved the energy from all of it, and
just
I
kept dipping it in.
Just wanted more of it, you know.
Don't run the fun into the ground.
I gotta say this. It won't go away.
So then, like after that, just everything, like I kind of got distance from the whole band thing. I was in kind of a build-a-band thing, which wasn't really like, wasn't on my own. It was kind of helped. They help you and everything. And then got out of that. And I honestly did not pick up my guitar for almost a year.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, what's the point? I got no drive, no motive or anything until I started like picking it up again. Like I met somebody at work and they're like, hey, let's play music. That fell apart. And I found like a cover band I'm currently still in, been together for about 2-3 years. Never played out. We just got together and like we were in a band, like real solid, and then everybody just split. Like bassist moved back to Pennsylvania. Drummer decided to live in Florida, which great for them. They're following their dreams. They're very happy where they're at. I'm happy for them. But like, you know, but me and the singer, the guitarist all stuck together and we're playing together.
Solidarity.
Yeah. And then I put another thing. I'm like, man, I got to get out there for like original bands. So I put a thing out on Facebook saying I'm looking for somebody. And Cole reached out to me and he's like, hey, will you do metalcore and hip hop? And I'm like, I never done that before. That sounds really cool. So I met up with them and he showed me what they had. I'm like, yeah, I can dig this. And been loving it ever since. Just looking forward to making some more music and jamming more.
I was afraid when I started branching out that people were like, that's weird as shit. Get out of here. What the fuck are you trying?
So you remember at the top of the show, you were like, hey, I don't know what genre we are. Metal cop, right?
Metal cop. There we go. That's the one.
except metal cops.
And like, seriously, like, not trying to get all sweet and everything, but if it wasn't for these guys, I would not have been as experimental with my music. Like these guys have definitely like opened my eyes to like other, like how to express more music and like other ways to bring about it. Like I've learned so much. Like I learned a little bit about live sound. I learned a little more about being more confident in yourself. And like we bounce off of each other. Like, you know, if we're having a hard time on stage, we're like, you got this. Like there's, well, I don't know about our first show.
Yeah, first one was a bit of a. Oh, yeah. It was a rough one.
It was a very, very rough.
You got
one,
stories?
Yeah, yeah. We played our first show at Carl's Tavern
in New Haven.
Yeah, in New Haven, and it was like that.
Did Chad put that one together?
I don't think he put that one together. No. I think
you guys
do
a lot of shows.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That.
We honestly did not know Chad at that time. I actually do remember who it was. It was a promoter outside of Indiana. I don't know how he got that thing set up. He was just looking for bands to play, and I said, "Hey, we'll play." He's like, "All right." Very unorganized. The sound. And I'm not trying to steal the story from
you.
No,
you're good.
But like the live sound dude dipped on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said it wasn't the normal guy, but yeah, he definitely
got out of the water.
But if it wasn't for you though, Woof. Just canceled.
Well, that's why you have to have a good background in what you're doing. You can't just go out there and strum on your guitar. Don't work like that.
You're listed as bass / programmer, right?
No, for sure. For sure.
For sure.
Yeah, some funny things that, like, you, I believe on the community page on our Facebook, there's a video of Disorder from that show. And you can see I'm like shutting down and just staring at a wall just because I'm like, oh, fuck. Like,
well,
you
the
know.
Stage does go straight into the wall, you know.
Yeah, the layout of that place was not kind to, you know, movement and stuff. It's just like you got this tight-knit area cool, to operate though. In. And, yeah.
Not trying to sound no, no, cool no, venues good, now. No. It was a good time.
Was just trying to not a give a story, you know. That's
all. We still got to get the stories out of YouTube.
Yeah.
Us too.
Yeah.
What did we do?
Well, about your.
It's don't what know you yet. Didn't music. Do.
Oh. I'm talking about like your first time, like band and stuff. And
wait, I'll just go then if you don't want to go.
So. Just like your experiences with like previous bands and then how it worked up.
Have you been in previous bands other than.
You guys are learning about each other.
I know,
huh?
Right?
So I guess we are. I didn't think so, but.
Yeah. I mean, just church live music. That's about it. And that's when, you know, like Cole said, that's when.
Oh yeah, that's when I knew he was the guy, is I'm over there running sound and we're doing drum check, you know, going through all the cells, and I'm like full kit, and this dude rips a double pedal solo in Worship Band. I'm like,
double pedals for the Lord.
We need to get you out of here.
Can't help it, man. Double pedal just calls you. So
it just calls you. Spirit, take me.
If I walked into a church and I saw some guy laying some double bass, I'd be like,
heck yeah.
Bitching. Right.
Yeah.
All right.
So your first instruments, I know you introduced the instruments that you play now in the band. Oh. Are those instruments you started on, or how did that work out?
Unfortunately, yes. I've started on drums, and I've always played drums, and I thought about getting into other, you know, instruments and stuff, but I was like, I just ended up kind of learning something new on the drums, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to stick with this. So.
If you were to play another instrument, what were those ones that you were considering?
What would it be? What would it be? What would it be?
Bass.
Bass!
I thought he was going to say something like super unique, like harp or something.
Oh, the keytar.
The keytar.
Oh, kazoo.
The kazoo. Hey, you should have. Let's retake that.
There are no retakes. There are no retakes. I just use a double negative.
So I'm going to come back at you. My first instrument and my natural talent was on drums.
Mm-hmm.
I
He's gonna for your job.
Yeah, I come up from drumline, you know, marching band background. Nice. So
wait for it.
I was drum major.
No!
My man.
Nice.
I almost didn't do it. I wasn't going to, and you pointed at
Where'd
me.
Where'd you go to school at?
Triton.
Triton. Hey, you.
I was until
Class D, homie.
I was a sax player for marching band until I was old enough to be drum major.
Yeah, I definitely seen you. So
yeah, we probably, the marching we band probably community. Had a contest together.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, I was into the teaching afterwards. My fiance, she teaches color guard.
My
she
fiance.
Teaches... I almost said girlfriend, and she would have had my ass. Yeah. Yeah. So I've been in that world for a long time. Great community. Fun stuff.
Marching band is no joke, though, because I went to Penn, and the marching band there is.
That's where we had a lot of.
Yeah, they're pretty legit.
Because they have the AstroTurf, that fake grass, and that shit is slippery.
Yeah, like our that's why our marching band always places its our well they still do they always place it state.
It's yeah, they
like,
oh they're so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Penn's like super into the fine
arts.
I've
watched
and
your
football.
School all the time
that's where
too.
They have a lot of money.
Huh? Said I watched your school. All the time
good thing
too.
We weren't in the same like class because we would have been destroyed.
What was
Penn like A?
Yeah, they were class A.
Yeah,
we were D.
Oh,
just because we were so small.
I was in the advanced orchestra at Penn, so, like, I didn't do the marching band shit, but I did, like, the symphonic orchestra shit.
What year did you graduate?
11.
14.
I think Penn, they had a orchestra. I think there was, it wasn't a contest, but it was, like, maybe it was a contest, something at Florence Central. They had a big concert band orchestra. All right, we can stop the nerd talk if you guys want.
Your turn.
Well, first instrument was keyboards, actually. Oh, no, I'll take that back. Not keyboards, piano.
Yeah.
My mom played piano for her church for over 20 years, going on 30. Maybe already 30. I don't know. But she's been playing piano for a very long time, and, you know, I was homeschooled too.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Sucks.
I thought you went to Penn.
Liar!
When I was younger, I was homeschooled.
Okay, because, like, that was kind of the same situation for me. Like, I was homeschooled up until junior year, and then I got sent into a career center is what they call it, an Anthus mm-hmm. Career Center, and continued that out and graduated there. But, yeah, I played piano for a while. I thought I was actually pretty good at it for a while, but I lost interest, and then my mom found an ad in the paper. She's like, hey, do you want to learn guitar? And I'm like, okay. And my guitar instructor was like, I don't think he's going to make it. But, like, I stuck with it for 3 years.
Look at you now.
Yeah.
Sorry to laugh at you. That's funny. He's not going to cut it.
No, he's actually very proud of me right now for what I'm doing.
Nice.
Like, I continued it for 3 years, and he told me, he's like, well, I taught you everything I know, so you're on your own. So then from there, I just kind of, like, just played a bunch of covers and stuff.
Wait. Okay. He taught you everything he knew, and he's the one that says, I don't think he has what it takes. Well, maybe he doesn't have what it takes to be teaching people.
That's a very good point. Why did you pay him again?
Right. Dude just straight set you up.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the person that taught him how to play piano probably said the same thing. Yeah.
Well, I was a very
generational failure right there.
Very shy and closed off 10-year-old. Like, I wouldn't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't really express my feelings or anything and be like, I don't like this. And he'd just be like, okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, a lot of bluegrass and Beatles songs he had me play.
Nice.
I hate the Beatles. I'm sorry.
Same. I was saying nice to the bluegrass part. The Beatles has been.
Bluegrass is nice. I like bluegrass.
I love bluegrass.
The Beatles are overrated.
What? Get out of my room.
He said the Beatles are overrated.
I'm not saying they don't have good music, but
the best hooks
the amount
of all time.
Bad music they made outweighs the amount of good music.
No,
no. Well, because back then they had to. This sounds weird. In order to stay relevant, you had to keep pumping out music. Mm-hmm. So the amount of hits they have is significantly less than how much music they made. So. In the grand scheme of things, they have way more flops than they do fucking bangers. But I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying.
We know with pop music, you just need one.
Yeah. You only need one.
Just need one.
But yeah, the Beatles are. I like the Beatles, but they're not.
That was like some of the first stuff I really got into.
This goes to show.
Back in the young old days.
This goes to show how much I don't know them, but one of them came by in Fort Wayne at the Coliseum.
Ringo, probably. Because I doubt it was Paul. Wait, what? Well,
Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney was in Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
But they even stated on the news to say, be careful around 5 o'clock because everybody's going.
Okay,
and apparently there's a lot of traffic, and I was like, go around.
I feel like that would be a good way to just get people to come to your venue. Be like, yo, Paul McCartney's going to be here. And then it's $10 at the door. Don't forget. I'm like, where's Paul? I'm like, oh, he's on his way. He's on his way. Don't worry.
Imagine paying $10 to see Ringo.
Have you know-
$5 to park there.
Have you mentioned that you work at Sweetwater?
Oh, yeah, I work
feel
at
like
Sweetwater.
You're giving a lot of these context things, and you haven't said that yet.
Yeah. We have a lot of friends who work at Sweetwater, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm a guitar tech for so-and-so. This would be like, what?
Who's
what?
That?
Know this person? Who?
My ex.
Yeah. His ex. And then who else are – I've got
Does Damon work there?
Yeah, Damon. Yeah, I think Damon. Damon.
Blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he's in Green Leaves. I can't say his last name. He's got a J and a K and a V.
I know Damon.
He's got too many consonants. I'll just say that. Okay, he's got too many.
Damon doesn't work at Sweetwater. All I know.
Oh, shit.
All I know from is that he's from the Green Leaves. I know the Green Leaves pretty well. I work with.
We definitely have friends that work at Sweetwater. So the Beatles fucking suck. have we gotten to how you started, Tyler, your instrument?
The first instrument I ever tried to do, I tried guitar was the first one. I just begged
begged my mom to buy me the fucking cheap ass Squire Stratocaster from Sam Goody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sam Goody.
And
missed that place.
Yeah. And I just it didn't feel like a passion for me. It's like I wanted to do this, but I was like, I don't know if this is where like my fire lies, you know? And I then was pretty much just begging my mom to get me any instrument, and she got me a drum set and she got me a bass, and I was like just trying everything out. And I nothing ever really felt right until I started doing vocals.
Mm-hmm. Can't do that.
Popping my fingers over here.
I can't pop my knuckles or anything.
Ah.
I'm popping my knuckles, and he's like,
I tried it once, and I was like, oh, no.
I made a mistake. Bueno.
I am wounded.
I'm disabled.
Yeah.
IT Crowd. You ever watch the show?
Yeah, I love,
love
that.
IT
I'm disabled.
Need to file.
Help. Fire. Come right
away. In America,
away.
They say pedophile.
And it's like a fire like right in front of Moss.
Yeah. Have you turned it off and on again?
Anyway, back to singing. You said that was like your calling after trying everything.
I can't sing.
I'm just a person that's always in my head, and I started writing to try and help release that, because then sharing that with people, it just started to really feel right to be. Mm-hmm. It's like I want to be heard so bad, and like this is just my way of being able to be heard. So it was awesome to really find that thing that just like it had that clicking come to moment. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I snapped in the mic. But it's just it's awesome to have that, and that's just what really drove me to continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. So you were talking about like the writing aspect, but mm-hmm. like vocally, like,
oh, sorry.
No.
Like, he just likes writing the most.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Cool. Like any musicians or singers that you like to mirror or grew up mirroring vocal styles?
I always like people that just try to have like a diverse vocal dynamic. Like they're trying a bunch of different stuff, and sometimes they do these things well, sometimes they don't. With my style and my music, I'm all over the place. And, mm-hmm. and you know, like I'm trying to just do some chanty vocals, some singing, some screaming, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah.
Some fat bars.
Yes. Some thick boys.
Yeah. Make them thick. God damn, they're thick.
And I mean, if you want to see what he's talking about, you guys in July released your first single, right? Imbalance?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yep. I'm sure we'll be closing out with that tonight.
Cool.
We're in the works of a second single, Disorder. With coronavirus, I mean, I stated earlier, you know, I'm on the producer game trying to, you know, become a mixing engineer or a better mixing engineer. We recorded all of our own instruments for this, drums, guitar, bass, all tracked in my room. We're doing the whole mix, the whole master. So it'll be interesting on how that stacks up with everybody else's material that's out right now.
Honestly, I feel like the name of the game right now is self-producing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be what a lot of people are gravitating towards, because when you do that, you can then like be like, we made this, you know, like this is our thing. And then like we're not trying to involve anybody unnecessarily, you know what I mean? And
you also don't have to drop thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Hey, but those people you pay thousands of dollars to, it's worth it.
Yeah,
it's worth
true.
It. But I mean, at this level, you know, there's not only is it nice to, you know, be able to do your stuff in-house and, you know, save on budget, but there's so much along the process of learning music, and not only that, but music technology now. Like, it's such a rabbit hole in everything that goes into a studio sound, a recording, a live sound. Like, we all need to know that. A drum setup, like, what's your EQ settings on your guitar? Where does it sit in the mix? The vocals, the bass, like, it all matters. So mm-hmm. when you go down that rabbit hole, you start learning as a band, and then, you know, you tighten up and you get better and able to make better full productions going forward.
So let's talk about some of the artists that influence you. I saw Attila for some reason. Want to talk about that?
So Attila, like... It plays into like the influence of like we have like this hip hop element in our music, but it's also heavy, and that's what gravitated me towards Attila, because some of the stuff I think they do very well. I really like the whole hip hop feel with it, and then it also has that heavy element. So like, and that's what I some of what I kind of try to.
I was just playing with you. There was a time where I liked a few of their songs a long time ago.
You're not an Attila fan,
bro.
I'm definitely not.
I can definitely see that.
I used to play their Rage album all the time when I was in rehab, and all the old people were like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
Did he just say, "Suck my fuck"? I'm a bad motherfucker, not a fucking role model.
Fuck church, hit a bomb, maybe smash a fucking bottle.
Hey, but then breakdowns hit hard, though.
Yeah.
I mainly just like the instruments. I don't care much about his lyrics.
Yeah, our hip-hop style is nowhere near Attila's. Total opposite end of the spectrum, for sure.
Like goofy and fun. Like,
we are way more chill.
Pineapple pizza.
Way more chill.
Yeah. No, Amos, though, from the Omniscient Ones told me. He's like, you know what? They know what people think about them. They're not taking themselves too seriously. They're just having a good time. And, that gave me a whole new perspective of them. I'm still not a fan per se, but I definitely don't hate them. Just some dudes having a good time.
Yeah. That's what you should do with music. Just have a good time.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just express yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Express yourself.
What? I don't know what we're doing.
Same here, bro.
Yeah, I just said Attila first, so you can still go, man.
Oh no! Were you messing with me there?
I think he was.
Attila vibe,
I did some research. I saw that you guys listed Attila.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the reason. For
that. Era, Killswitch Engage.
Oh yeah,
Killswitch
yeah.
Engage.
Yeah.
Yes,
all
yes.
From him. Killswitch.
Oh yeah.
Wait. What era? Sorry, not the band. What era of Killswitch are you?
As in, like...
What, vocalist? Or
that's what
we were having this discussion on the way here.
I got to piss some people off, but Howard. I love Howard.
Why would
that is the right answer.
Okay, I'm going to be, like, crucified or something. Okay, awesome.
Jesse's good. But, Jesse, right?
Yeah, Jesse. Yeah.
Jesse's great, but Howard.
He's not bad, yeah. Howard. Dude, I love that opera thing he has to the band. Like, that's what I love about it.
We just saw them not too long ago. They were at the Clyde.
Nice. I love the class.
Last year, that's a really nice venue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they hit hard. They were really good. If I want to go all the way back, I would say probably the band that got me into heavier music was probably Godsmack.
Interesting.
Godsmack is kind of what started it for me. Like, my dad had me listen to him, and I was like, oh, this is really cool, and it just escalated from there. And, like, eventually just turned into heavy influences on out was my top four so far is, like, Demon Hunter, Fit for a King,
Pearl. Oh, I love Demon Hunter.
Nice. Yeah. And that was, what, three? It was Godsmack. Fifth one was, I guess that was four. I can't count.
Paramore.
I don't know.
Paramore.
But actually... If you could see, I actually do have the Demon Hunter logo on my
arm.
That's
so cool.
Is that Fit for a King?
And Fit for a King.
I saw that earlier and I was like, I don't want to ask if it's Fit for a King to be wrong and embarrass myself, but I definitely
know. It's cool how you combine them, though.
Well, and also I got the Periphery one right here. And actually my whole right arm is going to be all the bands that influenced me. Eventually it's going to have Godsmack, probably Slipknot. Trivium was my other heaviest one.
He's a fucking genius.
Yeah. It went from Godsmack, Trivium, Demon Hunter, Fit for a King, and Periphery, basically. And, like, the guy that did all these, I'm just going to give a shout-out to him, is Brett Bloom. He used to work at True Think, but he is now has his own shop open down in Wayndale of Fort Wayne called Full Bloom Tattoos, so check him out. Brett Bloom. He books out far. Like, he's quite popular. And, like, I had a session made in May, but then the whole COVID shit went down, and he had to push me all the way out to January because of how booked he was.
Gosh.
But, I mean, gives me time to save up.
True.
But. I saw a thing today. It was like this new kind of, like, needle. But it was, like, 120 of them all one thing. It looked like a paintbrush. And the guy was just, like,
wow.
It was crazy.
That sounds kind of cool.
It was cool to watch, but I had
super shade.
Yeah. Honestly,
shading ones. There's yeah. Multiple.
Honestly, the more the needles, the less painful it is. Because when he first started on me, he used his finest needle. I think it was a single one, and that hurt like a lot. And then
a lot.
And then he went
Frank, how many guns you have in your trunk? A lot.
Then he went to like the shader, which had over like I think 50, and I'm like, oh, this feels like nothing. Mm-hmm. So
I definitely think the shader feels better than the single.
And people say that the shading is worse.
Shading, like, I've always like for me like shading was always the worst. It's just
yeah, I could like especially on my arms, I can do the lining all day. The shading didn't feel too well. I don't know.
Yeah. It all depends on the person.
I guess so.
Just a different breed, bud.
Also, placement too. Yeah. Like if you're getting it, like I got like stuff on like my rib cage and my hip, and then last piece was my arm and it has the most shading, and even then it was still painful. But you know,
anything or like around the waist area is like really sensitive. I can't imagine that.
Yes, that was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I got the stick figure right here, and oh boy, let me tell you about that shading. Woo! So tell me about your tattoos. But I don't know. I'm just kidding.
No, wait, no. I want to know now. We can get back to the music shit later. Tell me about. I see a bunch of stuff.
I got. This
see
is
stars.
Just a art piece. My buddy did. He works at Black Anvil. Mm-hmm. Well, used to work at Black Anvil. He has his own shop now. Actually, it's ooh, funny how right. People just up and get their own shops. But yeah, he drew. I worked with him at the time doing some warehouse while he was, you know, building up his. Tat repertoire, but mm-hmm. He just drew that up. I got that. He drew that up. I got this. Here, I might as well stand up.
Hold that on your pants. Don't want to look at your ass tattoo. No,
I mean, I'll look at your ass tattoo if that's what you're showing.
You gotta warn us though.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be showing.
I got
my ass.
Drum.
Nice. The drum.
My drum from my first love.
Yeah.
Drummer boy.
Pearl. Was her name, I believe.
You're pretty.
Just one of Breaking Benjamin and stuff.
Nice.
Logo and stuff. That's another band that I also look up to and stuff. Should have mentioned that. But yeah, I like their music too. So.
Well, I guess, I mean, before we start settling down, heading out, I do have one question. What is in the future for Man Versus? Single that's coming out.
Yeah, well, I mean, with COVID, I'm sure with as it did everybody, it slowed down greatly our projections for the year. I mean, we had shows, but we had some festival coming up here in the fall. We had shows booked at Hoosier Dome, Emerson Theater. You know, we were planning on going out and spreading our name this summer, and we were probably. We couldn't have been four shows into this year, maybe five,
it was about,
if that.
Close five to
and,
seven.
You know, shut down. So, I mean, our plan is to get out there, get a name for ourselves, you know, in the multi-state area. I mean, we were booking in Chicago, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, you know. So, we're definitely going to try to get our names out there. But when we all talked and started forming the band, I mean, our end goal is to make careers in music. Like, that's, you know, that's my...
our goal is to do this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean... There's many different ways to grind to get to the end goal, and I don't care if, you know, if that's our band gets famous. I mean, obviously we're all, I mean, not to the famous level, but we're all sitting here working, trying to make it successful. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter if it's the success of the band or if it's like, you know, somebody notices Caleb's guitar playing and his tech setup or if somebody likes my production or, you know, it's all here to set up something bigger. So I hope Man Versus is the thing that becomes that something bigger, but... I mean, we have the bigger picture in mind for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm just happy to get on stage and play and just be wild.
You're just happy to be there.
I swear every time after I get done with a show, I get whiplash damage.
Yeah, my chiropractor. That'll happen.
My chiropractor's angry with me every time that happens.
You had to see him. He's freaking nuts.
Awesome. I love when people get nuts, though. It's bitching.
Yeah, we have very few and select spots in our music. We get really crazy, like... and our song we have recorded in Balance isn't a very good example. That's probably one of our more energetic songs, but we like to chill out, talk about things people don't always want to talk about and address, and
like how the Beatles are overrated.
I still don't want to talk about that.
that's too deep.
Too deep.
Well, especially if you going back to craziness, especially if you get wireless, the sky's the limit.
You guys ever seen a Lot Lizards perform?
Oh, yeah.
Adam?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
crazy like are you crazy like him?
I feel no, like, no, not a person in this area is as crazy as Adam.
He becomes another person.
Like, I don't know how he plays notes when he's doing front flips on stage, climbing up walls. I don't know. Yeah, he's something else.
The first time I saw them, that was like the thing I was, because there's a lot of stage performances that we see in this area. Mm-hmm. But when I saw a lot of those for the first time, I was like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah,
like,
they're crazy.
Not all, how did they play any of that music without Joey and
like, exactly. Right?
That's why I was like, bro, we got to talk to these motherfuckers because they are fucking wild.
But now they're one of our great friends.
Mm-hmm. We actually, me and Cole work with Adam. He works at the same... DC,
we're all from the same stomping grounds, grew up in the same city, same schools. We've been, I mean, I've never personally, like, jammed with them, but, no, I mean, I we've been in bands with people who've been in bands with them. You know how that goes. They've, they've been, we've been in their community, but they definitely got something figured out there.
And definitely not take anything from Joey. Joey's wild, too.
No,
just like 30% more. Because Joey's also got to focus on doing vocals and stuff, but Adam just gets to act a fool, you know?
I don't know how he maintains all that freaking energy. It's like, damn, I'm out of breath, like wheezing, just going up the stairs.
Five energy drinks a day.
He is a fit, handsome man.
Chris, what was that one time, that thing you told me about, what Adam said to the old man at Ignition or something? He's like, I'm gay, or something like that.
What was it that he said? I'm trying to remember.
Was he trying to ask him about those girls or something like that?
Oh, yeah. This dude at Ignition was being, like, really, you know,
sexist?
Gross. And he was like, yeah, I'd love to get some time alone with her. And he just, like, literally, he's like, I'm gay. And he, like, yelled in his face. And he was like, oh, shit.
Like he was over it.
Oh, we love you, Adam.
For sure.
Yep. Love the homie.
Yeah, yeah.
See you tomorrow at work, Adam.
We're all see. I'm coming by.
How did you guys get the name for your band?
That's what back when we were in the starts. I mean, it just goes along with the talking about things that aren't necessarily comfortable. Like to bring light to conflicts. Mm-hmm. The main inspiration, I guess, for it is the conflict within your mind, you know. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be like man versus yourself. Because we all came from a spot, all three of us, back in the start, where we were battling, you know, our own minds at the time. And I mean, we can go on for days and days on how many, you know, sub problems that can cause and, you know, what was personal to us. But it's just, I mean, we each and every person deals with it. Every single person in this world, there's a battle in our mind. And I mean, it takes us, some of us, our whole lives to, you know, ease that war. And I'm still trying to figure out that war in my mind as, you know, I feel like the majority of the world is, so. And
life is suffering.
And I feel like talking about it and definitely helps bring that sense of, I don't know, you know, comfortability. I mean, connection with your, I mean, sense of peace. How about that? Sense of peace within yourself.
I mean, I feel like it's like an accomplishment just to have the ideology that now it's man versus the issue that you have rather than man being impeded on by this issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can not just face your demons before where you were just kind of like holding on for your life.
Yeah.
But now you're at the point where like, okay, I got my sword, I got my shield, I know where to go from now on.
And a lot of the problems people have with other people they're not problems with other people, they're problems within ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's another, I mean, I don't want to get big into society and politics talk, but that is a problem with society. People can't really look inside and fix that first. It's always, what the hell did you do? You're wrong. I'm going to fix you. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you have to start with yourself or nothing else is going to come after. And that's a, I don't think we teach that in society nowhere near enough.
Yeah, I think it can also go like hand in hand with the acceptance of mental health, because you're not going to want to internalize any, you're not going to want to like introspect is the word I'm looking for. You're not going to want to introspect if you're not comfortable with talking about mental health. But as soon as you're talking about like, okay, wait, I'm a little sad, do a little bit of research, depression, whatever. And especially in our day and age, like that's a lot more, you know, accepting. So then people start getting into introspection.
I feel like part of the reason why some of the older generations call the millennials like crybabies and complainers and stuff. It's like because we're more open to talking about our feelings, mm-hmm. whereas in past generations they're like, suck it up and get back to work. Mm-hmm. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I have that back and forth with my dad mm-hmm. to this day, man.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I know you feel the same thing, and you were taught not to talk about it, but talking about it will help it. And that's what we're trying to do is, it does sound like we're crying and whining a lot, but those are feelings, man. That's just how it is.
We're vocalizing them. Like, just because we're different generations, like, people are people. 50 mm-hmm. years ago, you're still having the same problems. It's just whether or not we're talking about it. And now we have the internet. We have, you know, social media, so it's a lot more open, and there's a lot of wiggle room when it comes to expression. So, I mean, we can be crybabies all day long, but because we're crybabies, we're getting legislation changed, and people are talking, and mental health is getting into schools, and children are getting raised differently. So,
I just think we just need to keep going. I mean, mm-hmm. it definitely, you know, things are changing, but we're still not the majority yet, you know. So,
we're making progress, but we're not where we want to be yet.
For sure, for sure.
The world moves slow.
Historically, the youth has always been the face of change. Like, it's never.
We are the youth of the nation.
We just can't get close-minded when we get older.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
what is the next generation going to give us shit for?
Like, when you think about it, like, the things that we're open-minded about now, what's it going to be later on where what we're thinking is open-minded is more closed? Like, how advanced are we going to be?
There will probably be AI, and people will probably have relationships with robots, and we'll be like, that's not human, you can't take that thing.
You know what?
I got a soul.
And I'm already pretty liberal, because I'm thinking that sounds pretty cool.
For sure.
Well, guys.
What a great segue.
I had another one. It was like, no, the next generation is going to get mad at us for taking the carpet off the wood floor and put it back on. Why did you guys take it off?
Why did you expose the natural wood floor?
Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Where can we find you and follow you guys?
Oh, we are on Facebook /Man Versus. That's VS, not spelled out, VERS.
The acronym.
The letters.
The letters.
V.S, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, but come and check us out when we start playing shows again.
Yeah, I was about to say.
They're starting to cancel the 21 shows, so why not see you for another 3 years?
We'll see, we're on the fence. Like, some venues are coming back right now and trying to book, and mm-hmm. others are not. And
are you guys?
We've told venues no a few times so far. I mean, as of now, nothing has really changed to make mm-hmm. it safe for, I mean, so what if it doesn't affect us in our area and my buddies aren't sick? But, I mean, it's about other people. So mm-hmm. we can't come back 100% safe for 100% of the people. So, I mean, until we hear something different on the medical front, I mean, it is what it mm-hmm. is. We're still in this pit, so to say.
I mean, that's a respectful pit thing six. To think of, too. You're, like, you're not worried about yourself so much, but you want to make sure you don't fuck anybody else up.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
I would love to be out there playing shows, but...
But it gives us more time.
It's not always about us.
It gives mm-hmm. us more time to hunker down, write more stuff, and record more stuff.
That, so too.
Yeah, I noticed you're not worried about getting haircuts. And that's not your primary concern.
Okay, boomer.
Haircuts are for quitters.
I mean, you can catch us on Facebook, and that's a good social media outlet. But, I mean, the scene is at the shows. None of this means anything if we don't get out to the shows, if we don't, first of all, support each other as bands and then fans, you know, come and support the bands you love, the bands you like. I mean, every single person means the world to us. So, I mean, music is a community. Music is a brotherhood. It's a family. We're all accepting of each other, and that's what it's about.
Beautiful.
Truly, truly. Bitching.
I thought that was gonna go in like a really nice way, and then
it still did. It was great.
You ruined it.
Truly, 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 White Claw.
Riveting.
Riveting. You can find us on our Facebook and our Instagram page, Toon Junkies Podcast. Our Twitter is Toon Junkies Pod. My personal Instagram is pulp.nixon, and my personal Twitter is make Dameron sure.
If you would like to reach me, you can leave me alone.
Awesome. And I guess before we close out, what have you guys been listening to, just like individually?
Oh, the hottest shit out right now. You guys heard of Sleep Token?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. I love that shit. And Dayseeker. Been listening to a lot of Dayseeker.
Yep.
They're a little predictable, but them choruses are catchy, man.
I've honestly been going back on old albums, some bands I love.
Me too.
Yeah.
Just listening to
their prime, basically.
Yeah. I was listening to Capitol Lights on the way here, and that was a band that came around here like 10 years ago. I saw them or whatever.
Sounds familiar.
Capitol Lights. No, I'm not going to hum it, but I played it on the way here, and then I played it on the way to the gas station, and then I repeated it on the way back here.
Is that good?
It's that good. But it's, you know, it was a thing that I listened to a lot when I was a teenager. So I was like, I can get down with this again, you know?
What about you,
Shout
Dave?
Out to Nickelback.
You
what about
guys,
you, David?
Yeah. What have you guys been listening to?
Listening to? I want to try to not say Code Switch Engage, because that's just what
that's all he listens to is Code Switch. nothing else.
Yeah.
Well, during soundcheck, him and I would play Kill Switch for a little
bit.
Yeah,
there you go. So, I mean, just I don't know what it is about them. So just,
and then they hear our real music and they're disappointed.
Anyways, what are you saying, dude?
I mean, mainly Kill Switch, but like also I try to get into, I don't know, you know, little bit of Five Finger, you know, a little bit of Slipknot, like what he's been saying. I mean, you know, all that kinds of other stuff. So
at first, I thought you were going to throw me for a curveball because you were like a Lil, and I was like, is he about to say Lil Yachty?
No.
I wish he did.
Cool. I'm impressed by too much new rap music, really.
Yeah. Tyler, what about you?
I've been listening to a lot of Sleep Token and Dayseeker. Both of those have been huge that I just keep gravitating back towards it. Dayseeker really hits right with me because you can just tell a lot of pain is in that music, and that's just stuff I always gravitate towards.
Oh, one thing I actually did forget to mention, Fit for a King did come out with a new album last week. It hits hard. They're coming for Parkway Drive's a crown. They are heavy.
Nice.
Feel like they get heavier every time they release something.
They just wait.
Bro, I didn't even
more.
Find Fit for a King until their fourth album.
Mm-hmm. That's normally how it goes.
I saw Fit for a King live, and before I'd ever really heard of them, and what it introduced me to Fit for a King is I saw them with Attila.
By the way, apparently Pierre's might be opening back
That's
up again.
That's what the word on the street is.
I heard it was going to be opened up at, was it Sunset Hall by the Pierre's people? Something like
it
that?
It absolutely is reopening. Their new owners are refurbishing it right now.
At the old building.
Crazy that the new owner's name is also Pierre's.
No relation.
Nick.
I really hope so.
That would be nice.
Oh, it's not a group chat. Thank God it's not.
I've seen Trivium there a couple of years ago. I actually was able to see them for free because, like, through work, like, they where somebody was asking, like, hey, I got some extra tickets. Does anybody want to go? I'm like, I was not planning to go at all. I'm like, I'll go. Phenomenal. Those guys were amazing. Matt Heafy is a god. Like, he is so good.
Great. He's really great.
So I've been listening to a bunch of Duckworth, Violent Soho, Freaks for Geeks, Say Anything, Cobra Starship, Drugs. Yeah.
Speaking of Chiodos, that was
working on a new album.
Like, that's like what really? Got me into heavy.
Craig O is working on a new album.
Craig O, he's working on a new album.
Our favorite drug addict, Craig O.
Yeah. Oh, 3 of 3. Weekend Friends. That's it.
Weekend Friends.
And Ludacris.
Okay, so I've been like in a pop punk kick, and I feel kind of weird saying this.
Me?
Or pop punk, like pop rock or whatever. And I don't. Machine Gun Kelly's new shit for some reason is just like hitting it right in the sweet spot for me. Because his new stuff is reminding me of all the old stuff that I used to listen to. So I've been listening to his stuff, and I've seen him twice on accident.
On accident.
On accident.
It's like a strange accident to make twice.
She's seen several bands on accident many times.
Many times. Ring Me the Horizon, I've seen them, what, 4 times on accident? On accident. Didn't know that they were even there. I was just like,
something
4 times on accident.
I just imagine Lex walking in and going, oh, God damn it, not again.
I didn't know these No, bands. Like, Machine Gun Kelly opened for Fall Out Boy in Chicago, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, I already seen him. We saw him at Sonic Temple on accident. All I remember is his fucking pants. But I don't really care so much for his rap shit, but his... new stuff is pretty good.
Solid. Oh, that
he does that
Travis
genre well.
Barker shit?
Yeah, he does it well.
It's not like intricate, but it's solid for the cookie cutter.
Pop. He's got the basic formula, and he
like easy, like if you want to jam in the car, like if you're doing a quick trip, and you just like songs in my head. So.
How's the song going?
Bloody Valentine. I have that
fucking turkey right now.
That's what it sounds
I'm trying to think, what
like,
cartoon
though?
Character? No, that's a real thing, huh?
Yeah, his song Bloody Valentine, that is, it goes exactly like that. But it's really good.
I listened to it when you told me to listen to it. I just don't remember the turkey.
It's in the background. You
I must
have listened
to the radio edit or something.
They cut that part out. They bleeped it.
So... oddly enough, I have also been on a pop punk phase. Uh-huh. I've been listening to a lot of Calling All Captains, Broadside. I wouldn't say it's pop punk, but Properties of Nature. If you like Dance Gavin Dance, you should check out Properties of Nature. The Dangerous Summer, Eye the Mighty, Hail the Sun. And then I found this band that's been around for a long time, but I just... oh, there's blood. I just found this band called Massive Attack that I really fuck with. Because they're like, they're really famous. I just finally got around to finding them. So that's what I've been. Oh, and a lot of Shy Beast, too. So and Astronomia.
How is that Shy Beast? I haven't checked it out yet.
It's great. It's really, it's like 90s dance, like club music. And I really love it. I really love it.
Might have to check that out.
If you like,
I've been meaning to for a while. I've seen it.
But... I mean, you guys had Icy Stars as one of your things. You at least got to check it out. Yeah. It's his side project.
I just want some new Icy Stars.
You ever listen to Chunk, No Captain Chunk?
Oh, yeah.
So is the captain. The captain loves him.
Hey, dude, are you ready to? That's the Chunk, No Captain Chunk.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll take your word for it.
Okay, no, cool, I'll write it down. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, moving on. Okay. Thank you guys again so much.
Hey, thank you
guys.
It's
been a great Tim. It's been a great time. There's a vine that says, I had a great Tim. And we're going to close out with Imbalance by Man Versus. This has been the Tune Junkies podcast. My name is Nick.
My name is Chris.
And I'm Lex.
And Lex is a fucking liar.
Your concept. Heidi's hastily offset. A self-absorbed prowess. Real pervasive malice. Run my stress as the clock ticks. Mind shift towards imbalance. Reality slips as we fall into the abyss. Salvation needs a fire in our hearts to light the way, to light the broken pieces that were broken from worlds of every soul when like an insurgence be gasping. So within our grasp seems to be an insubstantial concept. Priorities hastily offset, a self-absorbed prowess, real pervasive malice. Run my strength as the clock ticks, mind shift towards imbalance. Reality slips as we fall into the abyss.
Imbalance in our mind, convoluted trying times, questioning with our life if what is left is truly right. We keep ourselves here encompassed by fear, the thought we can't transcend. Our path will ascend and lead to an end of all we're holding dear. Imbalance in our mind, convoluted trying times, questioning with our life if what is left is truly right. We keep ourselves here encompassed by fear, the thought we can't transcend. Our path will descend and lead to an end of all we're holding dear. Imbalance in our minds, convoluted trying times, questioning with our life if what is left is truly right. We keep ourselves here encompassed by fear, the thought we can't transcend. Our path will descend and lead to an end of all we're holding dear.